Hey folks, it is Monday night, the 13th of March, 2017. You're listening to episode 58 of AIH Superfans Podcast, and I am one of your superfan heroes. My name is Alan. On Twitter, you can find me at Slip with five eyes, or Slip.
Yo, this is Roddy, and I'm at Big Poppy Peg City on the Twitter machine.
I'm Brian, and you can find me on Twitter.com at Brian from AIH.
And I'm Chris. You can find me at CMACK Live on Twitter.
Chris, you came back.
Yes.
After the last time being associated with us. Bad move.
I had some pretty good feedback, actually. So, and thanks for having me again.
Hey, it's not a problem. And we brought you on it. What a great time, right? What are we in, a 4-game losing streak?
Yeah, something like that. I don't, you know what? It's funny, as much of a fan as I am, I don't even honestly check standings and stats almost ever. If I remember what it is, then I remember, but that's funny that I don't do that, actually.
So
I guess I consume enough info anyway.
So let's work our way backwards from tonight to back to when we last recorded. So the Jets come off just this evening a 5-4 overtime loss to the Nashville Predators. They are, let's see, outshot 42-34. They gave up a 2-0 lead and a 4-3 lead. They had one goal called back. They lost in overtime on a power play goal from a Dustin Byfuglien penalty that came right after Patrick Laine almost scored a highlight reel, probably a highlight of the year reel goal, but he didn't. What else can we say about this game? Interesting lineup choices. Not many options on defense when half of your top six are out, with Myers, Enstrom, and Trouba not playing. But up front, Nick Petan gets sat again for Chris Thorburn. And
of course he did, because Chris Thorburn busts his ass every time.
No. I'm sure he works really hard. I don't.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, there's something to be said about a guy that busts his ass every time he's on the ice, right? Like, come on, Mark.
They said that they wanted a cop with more defensive responsibility, because the centers were going to need more defensive responsibility tonight. That was what they said during the broadcast.
So then shackle him with a piece of shit?
Okay.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to say that.
I mean, Thorburn, I know he has to try hard, because he's not that good, right? So I'm sure I bet you he's trying harder than other guys on the team. He's just not as talented as Petan, and he's being put in the lineup for the wrong reasons, right? You're looking for, what, grit? And meanwhile, when he's in the lineup, what, Dano got drilled twice in this game. Enstrom got drilled from behind against Pittsburgh and is out for God knows how long. So if he's not providing that, like, isn't the point of hockey to score goals and that's how you win? I don't know.
He's one of the handful of hand grenade guys that were out there today that handle the puck like a hand grenade. Like, what a tire. Like, Melchiori, Sherratt, and Stewart with Thorburn on the ice. Like, how many times were Sherratt, Stewart, and the fourth line out there together today? It was horrible. Nobody can handle the puck or make that first pass. It's just,
well, it couldn't handle it. Couldn't
they
have
handle
been,
it like a hand grenade.
Yeah. Could have been more than for 8 minutes, because that's how many minutes Dano and Thorburn basically got.
I don't understand. I thought they stopped giving participation ribbons and you stopped making teams for trying hard when you're like 13. Honestly, that's not... Honestly, like, I just... Like, of all the things, how you can keep rolling this guy out, I just don't understand. Like you said, he's not providing grit. Dano got drilled into the boards with Thorburn 5 feet away. Nothing came of it. At least if there was a threat of a fight, which I don't believe in that garbage, who's scared to fight Chris Thorburn?
Nobody.
He gets ragdolled every time. So you can do whatever you want. It's of all the stuff, it's so baffling. I don't get it.
Sean Matthias, had a really good Chris Thorburn impression today, too.
Oh, he got his ass handed to him, right?
Oh, man.
So, I mean, at least the game tonight was entertaining, right?
Yeah, it was good.
You know, it was actually fun. It's too bad that, and I don't know if he listens to the show, but shout out to Brian Grebe and his family who had a good trip to Winnipeg. They won a trip from San Francisco up to Winnipeg over the weekend, saw lots of photos from that. Unfortunately for them, they had to go to that Calgary Flames game on Saturday.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so if they'd only gotten tonight's game, that might have been at least entertaining. But, of course, we had the Flames in town this past weekend on Saturday. The Jets fall 3-0, and again, what I only saw a little bit of that game, to be honest with you, but heard it was, again, like as bad as that Tampa game from a few weeks ago. They also, before that, lost to the Penguins 7-4. That score is probably flattering. It wasn't a good game there. And they lost to San Jose 3-2, it was, 2-1 for the Sharks in the third period, and then they gave up an empty netter when Thorburn got his 1,000th assist, and then the Jets scored one late. And things were a little happier before that. They came back from their break, beating St. Louis and whipping Colorado as they should have. So initially, you know, people started that playoff talk again, and now... 4 games later, I mean, it's done. I mean, I said it was done before, but it's done.
It's 100% done. I always have used a thing where if there's as many games left as points you are out, that's when you're like, there's zero chance. I know that that's not scientific, and a lot of people throttle me for saying that.
Yeah.
But you have absolutely no way, and they're close now because now they're 9 out with 11 left or something like that. And so my thing that I've been looking at since I was 9 years old is about to come true. There's no way. There's no hope.
I'm just looking at the wild card stats. I don't know if they updated it with tonight's game yet, but we do have the Jets sitting at 67 points after 70 games played. So yeah, that is correct. With 7 overtime losses. So essentially they're 30-40 on the season, and they are, as of right now, 8 points back of St. Louis. St. Louis has played 3 fewer games. They are in progress right now playing Los Angeles, who is the other team the Jets are chasing. But at this point in time, I mean, you know, everyone else is out of reach. Calgary on their winning streak is out of reach. Edmonton is out of reach. It's, you know, you're 8 points behind and you have 12 games to make it up.
Never.
Yeah, that's it.
Why are we even talking about it? It's not even like
false hope.
They've been out of the playoff picture for 20 games now.
So if we look at it in the reverse direction, then the Jets are sitting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th last right now.
Not so bad enough.
So they're lining up for, you know, maybe like the 7th pick odds in the lottery, right?
Are they not as close to Phoenix as they are to St. Louis?
Arizona is 11 points back. So they're a little closer to St. Louis. But, I mean, Dallas and Vancouver can still catch them for sure in terms of points. And Jersey and Detroit might have a bit of a harder time. Carolina is still right there. Buffalo is still right there. So this could still change quite a bit. But again, at this point, you're pretty much jockeying for a better lottery chance, right?
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking during that Calgary game, Calgary lost in the draft lottery last year. Like, that's the team that, remember when we were like, who's... when we got to that 6th pick and we were like, oh, the Jets come up here or else they've won the lottery. And then he flipped over and it was the Flames.
That's right.
Calgary lost in the draft lottery and they're right there in the playoffs now. It's amazing.
You know, there's
that's
a team that
I turn around.
Yeah, there's a team that actually won a playoff series in the last 4 years. And, you know, they've fired their coach. And they have a brand new coach this year. And, you know, it's just funny how things happen in other markets when there aren't any results. But anyways, that's...
And in November, they were talking about firing him already.
Yeah.
In one season.
So let's direct some traffic to Arctic Ice Hockey for once.
What's that?
Andy Rolfe at Patty Bear XYZ put a post out, which was actually written by season ticket holder Kevin Doherty, who we tried to get on the show but wasn't able to make it tonight. So I'll actually find his Twitter handle in a second to give him a shout-out as well. You do? Can you read it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's at MagicToasterFI1.
Perfect. So he wrote an article, which was then again posted by Andy on Arctic Ice Hockey, The Broken Spirit at the MTS Center. And, of course, online it just says, who's responsible for breaking the MTS Center? Essentially, the article is about just the change in what this building has become from year one to now as we're ending year six, being the loudest, most exciting arena to see hockey in, with maybe the exception of the Bell Center. Is it called the Bell Center? Yeah, it's not the Bell Center, not the Molson Center. The Bell Center in Montreal. And to now, you know, his first game this season was going to that Calgary game, and he said that it was completely, like, dead silent in there. Let's see. Yeah, it's... go ahead.
It has been. It's been that way every time. I went to the Pittsburgh game last week, and that first period was really good. It was entertaining. I jumped out of my seat for the first time in a couple of years when Bufflin scored that goal. But every other game I've been to has just been, it's like a library. It's like Calgary. Calgary's notorious for having terrible fans, and it's just like that.
Yeah, I was at the San Jose game, and it was, you know, pretty freaking boring. And I was in the Bud Lounge too. Shout out to Peter Tessier, who took me to that game. Glad.
I was at some pretty loud and exciting games that the Jets played in this year. Of course, they were in Detroit, Buffalo, Montreal, Ottawa, and Toronto.
In other markets, yeah.
But that Detroit game that we were at was pretty good, right, Brian?
That was a great game.
Yeah, and the Wings lost that game. And they're, well, I mean, they made the playoffs for so many years in a row, but they're like one of the last place teams in the league.
You know, I was at that back-to-back, that lockout year where the Jets lost both games to Washington. And you know how deflated that crowd was after that second loss to Washington, and how I thought that was the gloomiest MTS Center had ever been at that point. You know, it was pretty fresh. But that was like a powder keg compared to what the Jets game was, at least that San Jose game that I was at was horrible. People, there were like maybe... At the end of the game, there were probably maybe 3,000 people left in the arena when the last horn went.
So do you think that this is, because the reaction to this, you know, whatever is happening with the team that is not good, is more silence than anything. Do you think that people are truly just ho-hum and apathetic, or do you think that there's still apprehension to actually speak out against what's happening with the team out of that fear again that they're going to run away?
Absolutely, there's that apprehension of doing that. There are some critical people out there that are not critical of anything the Jets do. Like there's people on Twitter that'll comment as hell about everything else in their lives and complain about this, complain about that, and talk about Donald Trump and racial inequality and blah, blah, blah.
Other human beings that are on Twitter, they'll complain about them.
Yes,
but exactly. Don't complain about a professional sports franchise. Complain about a human being, but not a sports franchise. That's what always gets me. Absolutely. Don't you dare insult a multi-million dollar corporation, but it's okay for me to call you an idiot because you're insulting that corporation.
Yeah, it's funny doesn't make any sense. How those exact same people will not say one negative thing about the Jets.
I mean, there
is no other market in the NHL where management and coaching pretty much gets a free pass in the mainstream media, and to a greater extent the fan base. Like, people who are critical of the Jets are the very, very, very vocal minority, right? We scream at the top of our lungs, but there isn't that many of us out there, to be honest.
But what also is funny about that is that the ones that don't, that aren't critical, are the ones, it appears, that go to games no matter what and sit on their hands for 2.5 hours because it's dead silent in there. They're the ones dropping the big bucks. It always used to be the upper decks that were making noise, and then the lower bowl would follow. Now there's nothing. So all of these people that are so content are content spending that money and not even enjoying themselves. That's what makes it even crazy.
It's like they're going because they have to go, right? They feel like it's like, well, this is something that I have to do still because, A, I've made the, you know, if I have season tickets, I've put the money in, and if no one's going to take them off my hands, then if I don't go, I'm basically burning money. But secondly, again, you know, if we're not showing up, remember what happened last time. Gary Bettman told us the moment that we were told the team came back, right? Chipman, Jets are coming back. Here's Gary Bettman. Gary Bettman, buy seats or else.
Yeah. like I said earlier today, sorry, Roddy, but like I said earlier today, if you want to prevent that from happening, there's only one way to do it, and that's win. Because that's the only thing that keeps people in the seats. Eventually, rich people don't get rich by being dumb with their money. They're going to stop spending $6,000 a year to go watch garbage.
Yeah, but those seats have already been renewed, right?
Of course, but even if they're empty, right? I know that at the end of the day, the bottom line is they need to be sold, and after that, probably the team doesn't care. But if they're not empty, if it looks like, Toronto looks for the first 15 minutes of each period, that's not a good look either. So once those people start going, oh, I'll just stay home and watch it, then maybe there's a problem there.
Yeah, there isn't even the mad dash anymore, you know. In between periods, you get out and you try to get your beer and you try to hustle back in for the period to start that. You know, that doesn't happen anymore. Like you just don't have that energy in the MTS Center anymore. You know, you try to get your Jets jumbo dog. I haven't bought a jumbo dog all year.
Didn't you buy a jumbo dog the first time we met?
Yes, I did. There's none of that anymore. I won't go as a single to a Jets game anymore. Like, even if the ticket was given to me, like, it's just a hassle. It's, you know what? You know, that was the beauty of when they first came back. Like, when we first met, Al, you were single. RB got me a ticket. I was one of a single there, and I was just there to enjoy the Jets. And it was crazy, you know. It was a shitty game. We lost to the Islanders, and Scheifele got hurt that game. You remember that?
Oh yeah.
And you know, it was a great experience. It is part of being there. Just being at the Jets game was such a great thing to do, and it's just not there anymore. It isn't there anymore.
I got a single for next week sometime. I'm happy to go as a single. Because I know either A, I'll bump into people and just be able to hang with them, or I'll probably have an empty seat beside somebody. That didn't happen 3 years ago.
But by the way, if anyone out there is listening and has a single for the Flyers game next week, let me know. I'm going to be in town.
That's going to be an annoying game because there are a ton of Flyers fans.
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. Flyers fans are the worst. Especially if they formerly were on this show. Shout out to the good old Part Cat. I'll let her know that we talk shit about her. We subtweeted her on the show. So not only does this article, you know, come out, but it got a lot of play, and it got a lot of play from some pretty big names out there in the Jets community, and lots of retweets and lots of commentary. Like, you know, again, Twitter's not that easy to get your finger on the pulse of the real world, but I saw quite a bit more venom thrown the way of the team than I usually see.
Like, I saw a lot of that, yeah.
I actually asked a question, like, is that just, you know, a few people, or is there something kind of turning around a little bit here?
You know what, though, Alan? You know what I noticed about that article and the defense or upset that either side took from it is, there's no direct blame, and there's no opinion or thought about what's actually going on the ice or off the ice. It's only about the atmosphere. So it's funny that people were taking offense, in my opinion, to the article when all it was talking about how the arena's not the same. It doesn't say anything about the general manager being this or the coach being that or the players. It didn't say any of that. And so that's what I found funny, that people could be still offended by it. You can't dispute what it's like in there. You can tell on TV.
I was going to say something and now I've forgotten. What a great podcaster I am. here it is. So does anybody have any concern about the fact that True North is obviously responsible for this team, but has also undertaken other projects like running that casino and building that hotel and entertainment complex? Do you think that, and by the way, with massive subsidies from the city of Winnipeg, let's just make sure we mention that. Is there any concern that maybe the team is focusing on those things, which, you know, and ultimately about making their money as opposed to what the product is of this hockey team?
You mean a multimillionaire is concentrating on making money?
Yes.
Instead of building a winner?
Yes.
Or maybe taking advantage of the fact that this market will buy tickets and still support the team, even though they're, you know, a steaming pile of poop. Like, it's, you know what, they've had a free pass, and they've had a free pass for 6 years, and they're going to continue to have a free pass for a certain amount of time here. Like, how many of the upper bowl seats are not going to be renewed after this year, and how many people on the wait list are going to scoop them up? Like, I can't see them being in a position of really being affected by anything as far as gate revenue is concerned. Things are going full steam ahead for True North Square, so that's like a big boom for True North. Like, really, where's the need or where's the urgency to get things done? You know, and all they've done and all they're going to continue to do is let UFAs expire and just add on by the draft, and that's what this organization is going to do. They're not going to do anything drastic to change the culture of this team.
Isn't draft and develop just code language for do nothing?
Well, it is just it is.
Like, what makes you unique? Like, I'm going to draft and develop my prospects. Okay, you mean like every other team?
Well, what's funny about that is they don't get any extra prospects or any extra draft picks. If that's your strategy, if we're not going to build through free agency, why are you not acquiring as many draft picks as possible? Where's that strategy? New Jersey's decided they need to rebuild. They have like, what, 7 draft picks in the first 3 rounds this year or something?
Toronto has a ton again.
Like, so is that really what you're doing? Is that really what you're doing? Like, every, you know, it's like one side or one time you're talking about this and the next time you're looking at it and you're going, those are two different things. If you were going to go all in on the draft, get some draft picks.
Well, and like, I'm frustrated in looking at what the Maple Leafs have done, for example, because it's not like it's a secret what they did. They traded off core aspects of what their old franchise was. They brought in veteran free agents and then tanked the season and then traded those free agents. And all of a sudden they have the number one overall pick and they have a whole bunch of other draft picks over the next couple of years. And they have prospects in the pipeline who actually won games with the Marlies and with their junior teams. Yeah. And lo and behold, they come onto the team this year. And I don't necessarily think that Toronto is, at this point, a powerhouse team for years going forward, but they're in the playoff race, legitimately.
They're right there. And then you look at Nylander, Marner, and Matthews together, like playing right now. Like, I mean, and
if
they have
if it wasn't such a crazy year in the East, you know that team would win a round two in the playoffs if they make it in. But the teams are so good this year.
And then the second round draft picks that they compiled, they used at the deadline to acquire more pieces, right? So, you know, a second round draft pick, and you know, what did they trade for Frederik Andersen?
So they traded the 30th pick. So they address their goaltending with the 30th pick, which was their second first rounder. They already had, you know, how the Jets had the Liney pick, and so at that point, you could roll the dice with your second pick and do Logan Stanley. Well, the Leafs did the same thing. They were like, well, we have Austin Matthews. Let's try to figure out our goaltending situation. And they took a risk. Yeah. Not as much with the trade, but with the big contract that he signed. But so far...
Well, look at how he's turned out. You know, after struggling at the beginning of the year, he's, you know, kind of come into his own, right? But, it's a drastic difference. Like they acquired assets for their guys that weren't going to be part of their immediate or long term future, right?
And
so you trade away Phaneuf for X and nothing, and you trade away a Kessel, you know, to get younger and to acquire chips, right?
Well, Kessel essentially turned into Anderson because that was the Penguins' pick.
Yeah.
And I mean,
they took a chance that you have to take by trading Kessel and Phaneuf and saying we're done. I mean, we talked about this last week, right? We talked about those aging assets. You have to maximize them if you're really a developing team.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody's saying it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. But you know, the Leafs actually won playoff games since the Jets have been back.
They sure did.
Right?
Yeah.
And they blew that
almost beat Boston team up.
They blew that whole team up and have
they're all gone.
And now they're going to be a force for years to come.
And you can sit there and say, well, yeah, but they've had high draft picks and, you know, Nylander, Matthews and Marner are, you know, you don't have that in every organization. But then out of the other side of your mouth, a Jets fan will say, well, Scheifele, Ehlers, and Laine are equivalent. So it's like, well, let's throw in a Jacob Trouba and a Josh Morrissey and a Connor Hellebuck. And it's like, don't you kind of have a young foundation of your own?
Oh, most Jets fans would tell you ours are better, which is to be argued.
Mm-hmm.
But all our first rounders, right? All the Winnipeg Jets first rounders are with the club now.
Well, they're
right.
Well, they're except for the Logan Stanley and Roslovic and Connor.
But they had, you know, Connor started the year off on the roster, right?
Yes.
So. Yeah, you know, and Roslovic's having a good year with the Moose, and they're here, but their top end first rounders are all on the roster right now, right?
Yes.
Right. So what do we have to say? Okay, so this is very much Chevy's team here right now, but the problem is they have assets that they've held on to forever and are dying off now. People can argue that our assets that are expiring aren't worth anything to anybody. So why did we sign them in the first place? So why did we hold on to a Mark Stewart? Why did we sign Chris Thorburn long term? Now they're expiring assets that are, you know, worthless, right?
I don't know what they were worth before.
Well, no, they're worthless when we resign them. So why not let them expire and develop somebody else, put somebody else into the lineup, right? Like this constant going back and forth, putting Chris Thorburn in the lineup right now is isn't doing anybody any service.
Especially on a night like tonight, when everybody knows they're not making the playoffs, and you have him in because Andrew Kopp can play better defense. Really?
Well, no, but
is that your development right now? Like, get these guys playing.
Well, look at the game tonight. Are you telling me that they paid more attention to defense than offense today? No. Their plan today was to just run and gun and be offensively minded, right? So why put
And that Chris should Thorburn be their plan in, every night.
Yeah. So why put Chris Thorburn in the lineup?
It should be mentioned another thing that the Leafs did last year when they were, I mean, they were out of it all year, but when they were truly out of it in February and March, they brought up guys from the Marlies. Once the Marlies had their playoff slot settled, they brought up guys from the Marlies like Nylander to play for about 20 games in the home stretch of the season. Why not put Roslovic and Connor in your lineup and see what you have now?
Well, again, if you're literally developing and drafting and developing, there is absolutely in three games no reason why Roslovic and Connor won't be here. The Moose aren't making the playoffs. You're not hurting them. But that's apparently not the style they want to play. They don't want a scoring third line. Why would anybody want a scoring third line in the NHL these days? because you have guys that can play that role, and they're sitting in a press box or they're playing fourth line minutes. You should be playing a top nine with your 7-8-9 being some sort of Patan, Dano, Armia combination. Those guys aren't playing, and you've got Adam Lowry and Mathias playing third line minutes.
Well, Adam Lowry,
it's all backwards.
Adam Lowry and Sean Mathias would be great fourth liners. I think that'd be
the best. Line. They'd be the best fourth line in the NHL. And instead, you've got them playing third, and you've got a guy that has no business playing fourth line minutes, and Nick Patan playing fourth line minutes when he gets to play. There's no logic to that.
Yeah, he's small.
Yeah, exactly. He's small. Put him in the flame against the other team's third line.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
And go back and forth with the other team's third line, right? Isn't that what third line should do? They're just going to have as much opportunity, right? Because they're going to be playing against similar players. That's the only... When teams win the Stanley Cup, it's not their best players that win the game. It's the team, and they talk about it all the time. We're the best third and fourth line because the top two lines offset each other. Can't you do that in the regular season?
Our coach has no idea what he's doing.
I'm starting to believe that.
There was an amazing stat, which I mean, we should have, maybe you knew it. I should have just known that before they said it on the Jets feed tonight. But the Jets are the most penalized team in the league with the 28th worst penalty kill.
Here's what I get. This weekend, they decide to concentrate on the penalty kill at practice. What game is it? Like 70 games in, you figure out that you got to work heavily on the fucking penalty kill, and you're 28th in the fucking league. Like, give me a fucking break.
And I'm just gonna say, how much better do you think your goaltender save percentage would be if you weren't the worst penalty killing in the league every bloody year? Where, you know,
where does undisciplined play come from?
Exactly.
Well, it used to come 2.5 years ago. It came from their style, and I think we all appreciated that. And I think we all appreciate that they're not running the same system they ran when Maurice got here. That closed gap system that when he got here, and the only one that couldn't figure it out was Mark Stewart. Everybody else figured it out, and that's why they made the playoffs. And all of a sudden, they stopped playing. Remember what Maurice said? It's really hard on the players and this and that, and it's a difficult way to play. Well, why are you getting paid $5 million a year? And it worked. And you stopped playing it. You're not playing anything. They don't look anything like the same team they looked 2 years ago.
No.
Despite having the same player.
No, but they have more
skill. Yeah.
They have more skill, but keep it to low event hockey. Yeah, okay. I'm starting to sound
like let's play a defensive system that relies on having great goaltending when goaltending is suspect. That makes sense too.
All right. So let's one more thing.
But let's talk about this 4-on-3 power play that was on tonight. Did you see who was on the penalty kill?
Well, yeah, I saw the screenshot of him on his knee trying to block the shot, sliding nicely out of the way so that
facing the other way.
Yeah, so that
facing the board.
The Predators had a clean shot to win that game. That was great. That would of course be Mark Stewart.
Yeah.
And
Ben Sherratt and Adam Lowry. That's who you had on the PK. Right? I have that right?
In overtime, yeah.
Perfect!
Well, Adam Lowry is the guy that we want to keep over Perreault, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. At presence.
Okay. He big, because he's big. He's big.
He is big. Hey, I just wanted to point something out about the power play, and this doesn't get a lot of talk, but I think it's a great idea that I heard before, not about the Jets. They're talking about having 1 minute penalties in overtime, and I think that's a way better idea than the 2 minute 4-on-3. It should be 1 minute, just so that there goes back to 3-on-3 quicker. Just wanted to, that doesn't get enough play, and I think it should change that rule.
I don't even know how I feel. I mean, it's almost like 4-on-3 power plays are kind of one of my favorite power plays in the league.
Oh, they're awesome. Sure.
It really tilts the odds, but then don't take penalties when you're 3-on-3. But then at the same time, 3-on-3 is, but at the same time, I find myself like somewhat disappointed when the 3-on-3 ends for the 4-on-3.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But and plus when it's 4-on-3, though, the game's over, and I guess that's all they want. So maybe that's why they don't talk about it as much.
Unless you're the Winnipeg Jets, and you have the 4-on-3 power play,
right?
Yes, yeah. And then
Patrick Laine is sitting on the bench,
and then
Patrick Laine, and you have four right-handed shots on the ice, right? Like look at Nashville today; they had two lefties, two righties, and who scored? Oh yeah, a left-handed shot on the right side of the ice. So go figure, for fuck's sakes, right? Whatever.
When they do the end of the 4-on-3 and the extra player comes on the ice, I want the whistle to go so quickly.
Right, and that's basically what I'm saying about the 1 minute thing. That it's just the same idea. It would just get it back to 3-on-3 faster.
The downside of the 3-on-3 is what happened to Buff, right? Which created the power play. He got stuck on the ice for 1:37, right?
And that's why that's half of the reason, though, why they go to 3-on-3, right? Is so those things happen.
Yeah.
What else can we talk about? I guess we should mention some a nice story very quickly. They highlighted Tyler Myers and told a story that I don't think was widely known, which is that... Oh, are you okay there?
I'm dying.
Buddy.
I'm dying over there, man.
That he was dealing with a child that came prematurely and lots of complications and... scary times at the hospital, but it sounds like everything is well with the Myers family, so that was good news.
Yeah, it was good. It was a great piece. It was nice to hear that and see that there was a happy ending to that, happy beginning, depending on how you want to look at it.
Oh, nicely said, Roddy. A happy beginning. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, no, that was fantastic, and good to hear with all the stuff that he's going through, just himself with his health, to add that on top is... That's awful stuff. So it's great for them.
Did you see that, Brian?
No, I missed it. I was at work. So I read a summary of it, and I can't imagine being in his place.
Yeah, it's you know, just
to put it lightly, just.
By the way, though, Brian, you probably can't imagine it because he's in Canada, so those healthcare costs are covered.
Oh yeah, that
yeah.
Although I was thinking when the wife first started her story, I thought, I wonder how much happier they would have been being in the States, and because those things to me, that's the difference, right? I mean, you could talk about the free and that, but we all know that American healthcare, if you could afford it, is much better.
Oh yeah,
covered, yeah,
right. Yeah. That's obviously. So I was at first, I was like, maybe they wish they were in the States at the beginning, right? But I guess the people at St. Don't get me wrong, people at St. B did a great job, and they do in that unit. They're notorious across Canada for being great. That's not what I mean. But for a second, it flashed in my mind that might have been a scary thing for them.
I'm also just going to mention quickly that somebody out there on Twitter, what I like to refer to as Deep Twitter, me and my friend Megamix.com, had to mention on that article the attractiveness of Tyler Myers' wife. That was what he took from the story. So, classy stuff.
Congrats to him.
Yes. it was a great story. I missed two goals because I heard about the story. I was watching the Nashville feed and then went back and watched it, and I'm glad I did. So, I mean, when they put that lineup out and I saw the defense, I was immediately, my first instinct was to kind of grapple over how we build our defense, but it's like, there you'll cut Chevy a break. Like, three starters not playing. Like, you can't...
You can't
plan for that stuff, right?
No. When you have Mark Stewart and Ben Sherrod on a pairing...
And Melchiori on another pairing?
Yeah, Melchiori playing 20 minutes... Never mind.
And a rookie on another pairing?
With Paul Postma.
Yeah, I mean, thank God that Josh Morrissey has turned into something so quickly, right?
Oh, yeah.
The whole defense thing, as much as we get on, especially Maurice, about the injury thing, this team, and as much as we got on Myers for the last year and a half, this team with Myers would be a lot different. And assuming everyone's healthy and Trouba plays the whole year and all that kind of stuff. But I think, those are five really, really good NHL defensemen that we have. And whoever the sixth one is, well, that's to be discussed. But I think you can put some of the disappointment of this year on that. I really do. Makes a big difference having three pairings or having kind of one and a three-quarter pairings,
Yeah, well, it'd be a heck of a lot different if they, maybe kept Adam Party and sat Mark Stewart last year.
Yeah, or once you knew Myers wasn't going to play, you traded for somebody to fill the spot and all those things. I'm not saying that they should be excused for it, because when you have a problem, you usually fix it. But I'm saying on the other side, if it were there, this might be an all right team.
And who knows what they knew? I mean, they came into the season with the guy playing, and he played a dozen games. So everything could have indicated that things were fine for the first stretch.
And you could also say that it was...
but at Christmas, he could have... trade deadline, whatever. I mean, that's too late, I guess, but...
trade deadline? What's that?
Well, when you're out of it and you're pretending not to be, you could at least pretend to be and fill that spot. I said, he should have filled that spot somewhere in December.
Hey, man, we might get a fourth for Stafford now, right? The dude's scoring in Boston.
Boston Bruins legend Drew Stafford.
Yes. should we do Ask the Superfans? Anything else you guys want to talk about? I'm sure we'll get some stuff coming up from these folks asking us questions.
I found a nice little tidbit. Jets prospect Matt Utaski scored his NCAA career high fifth goal this season.
Thanks, man.
Seventh round draft pick, 2014.
All right.
We might have something there.
There you go. And with him and Tucker Poolman maybe coming, right?
Yep. He's 6'5".
All right. Well, then he's perfect.
Of course he is.
No, 6'6".
Oh, yeah.
We got some preemptive questions before we even did this show. So starting with some stuff posted yesterday, Jet Strolling asks, what actual playoff team are you cheering for now? My answers are the Ottawa Senators in the East and the Edmonton Oilers in the West.
Good ones.
I have a tendency to cheer against teams. That's my policy for when my team's not in it. So that'll be to be determined after the seedings are set. I cheer against the teams that I don't like rather than cheering for teams.
I'd like to pull for the Caps in the East and Edmonton in the West.
Capitals and Columbus for me.
Homer.
And San Jose in the West, and not Pittsburgh. For the love of God, not Pittsburgh.
I will
say... that's what I'm saying. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
There's no way I want so-and-so to win. That's how you cheer.
There's I was looking at the potential matchups right now, and there's nothing really that intriguing in the first round that I saw, but especially like with Canadian teams playing Canadian teams or, a big rivalry matchup, at least as of yet. But with Edmonton, Calgary, potentially Toronto, Montreal, and Ottawa all in the playoffs, like, this is lining up to be a lot more fun than last year.
Every year the Canadian teams play each other in the first round, right? That's the worst. Like, if you're going to be one of those people that just cheers for a team because they're from Canada, how come every year two of them have to play each other in the first round?
And this year it's not lining up that way,
That's great, then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Jet Strolling also asked, remember how bad we played at the Heritage Classic? I do. I was there. It was basically like that Calgary game, except it was outdoors with twice the fans.
Yes. And nicer jerseys.
Yes, and we had to wait an extra hour for the game to start.
We had to wait 3 hours for the game to start on Saturday. And we did.
hot take. Andy Rolf posted a poll that Troy Westwood put up. He said, Troy Westwood said, what would you like, what would you most like to see with your Winnipeg Jets? Here are the options. Let's choose one to vote because we haven't voted from our site yet. Big personnel change, head coach change, be patient, hold course.
Be patient, hold course.
the patient move has worked so well.
I'm going to choose head coach.
Yeah, me too.
Patience got a lot more votes than it should have.
Oh boy.
Patience is winning that poll.
It is 38%. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
If this was a Canadian election, it would have a majority government.
Doesn't that poll tell you everything you need to know? Honestly.
Well, you could say that. I mean, you could flip it around and say 62% said don't be patient.
Sure. Okay.
Still not enough.
And do one or the other. Sure.
Yeah, like one or the other. At least you can say they split the vote. Like, maybe we should put our own poll up. Be patient or don't be patient.
Okay, fair enough.
Maybe we'll try that.
So the real question is, how is the Bloc Québécois going to affect this poll?
We'll see. They're going to take 10% off of the fire the coach. Let's see. Reese Smielski asks, will there be any coaching staff changes, either Jets or Moose? Will MTS Center be quiet?
Yes.
It doesn't sound like they're lining up to do any changes whatsoever right now, right?
Everybody's getting new contracts.
I'm going to, honestly, I'll put it out there. There is no way on earth that they could bring all of them back next year.
They are.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
I think, in my opinion, they have to do something to kind of smooth some of it over. And in my opinion, if they re-sign Maurice, which I believe is going to happen, I think they let him say they're going to let him, that'll be his choice, replace Huddy and Flaherty and get his own assistance, because he never got that opportunity when he got hired. That's just what I think. I always put a little more faith in than some people do, but I don't see how you can run him out there with not his guys again.
They gave him the choice, though. They gave him the choice before he signed the contract, didn't they?
Yeah, but now he's renegotiating. So, I mean, maybe at this point, because he's got to think about his job, too. He doesn't want to get canned, or maybe he wants to get canned, now that I think about it. Maybe that explains everything. But
I heard they're all getting extended, and they're getting Priuses from Birchwood Toyota.
I just think if he wants the best chance of keeping his job and the team really does want to keep him for whatever reason, then maybe he has that as a negotiating ploy, is I got to bring my own guys in.
Or maybe they get an assist, like a co-coach, like some of that's pretty common now. And I don't know if that Compon is a co-coach or an assistant.
Isn't that Stewart?
the player coach?
Yeah.
No, but you know, a lot of teams now, like Ottawa has Lemaire, right?
Yeah.
Like he's a head coach, except he's co-coaching essentially, right? I wonder if something like that, to kind of, that way you get both sides, right? And that's a true North way to do it. We can make some people happy by getting rid of a couple pieces, but we can also do what we want to do.
So Lemaire is in Ottawa too, with Mark Crawford, and because Mark Crawford's in Ottawa too. Right?
Okay, it's Crawford. Yeah, it's Lemaire's in another one where he's the assistant coach.
Let me type this in.
No, it's Crawford in Ottawa with
right. But I'm thinking that guy is Boucher. Yeah, Boucher. That's right. Right.
I'm putting in Jacques Lemaire to see what he's doing right now. He's just retired.
I'm sure it's right.
He is here we go. He currently works as a special assignment coach for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Wow.
Of course, right?
look at that experience there.
Yeah.
Yeah, two general managers.
Two coaches, including, like, you know, Babcock, probably the best coach in the world right now.
Yeah, and who do we have? We have We have I was the guy that ran the Chicago Wolves and Mr. Career 500 fake 500 fuck.
And a goalie coach that played 120 NHL games.
Yeah.
When your AHL team's goalie coaches produced incredible AHL goalies year after year, but your NHL goalie coach has no coaching history and was a terrible, terrible goaltender when he played.
He's getting extended, though.
No way.
All right.
Toyota Prius. Toyota
Prius. I say that both ways, Roddy. no way.
Jimmy, @Jimmy_Peg. If Scott Brown ever leaves True North, does Paul Edmonds already have the job as True North's mouthpiece?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Great tweet.
I turned on the Big Show this morning for the first time in a while because I've decided not to listen to it anymore, and it was the sound of Paul Edmonds half asleep giving his really really crappy take on the Jets, and I just, you know, I turned it off and listened to Taylor Swift on 103 or something like that. It's just
on your iPod, be honest.
Oh, I can't stand. Oh my God. Paul Edmonds, yeah. Anyways.
Hashtag fire anyone, @SirSexyRexy asks, whom would fill in the blank if y'all were the GM? So he's got the six defensemen. He has Morrissey, Trouba, Enstrom, Myers, blank, Bufflin.
Go ahead, Brian. That's your specialty, man.
Ooh. Anyone? Because if we're being completely unrealistic, the answer is clearly Lindholm.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, I don't know. Maybe try to get someone like Noah Hanifin. I know Chevy was really into him at the 15 draft.
Hey, what was that rumor that we were talking about in the group there? The little rumor.
About you?
Oh, shit. Can we talk about
that? We can't talk about your rumor.
And we don't talk about the DM.
That's the first rule of the DM.
Okay. Never mind.
Douglas Page @DougPageCMA. How many fucking times does Stewart drop to the knee of death on the PK? #ShootMeInTheFace.
Well, maybe that's what he's expecting. Thing when he drops to the knee. Oh boy, we've hit a new low.
All the time. The answer is all the time.
Yes.
Sad Sack Jets fan. I don't know who that is.
Friend of the show.
Will the Jets start next season with a goalie not already in their organization?
Well, yes. You would think so, because unless they plan on promoting Comrie next year, I think they would have to, you know, and with the experience of this year not having a veteran goaltender, it would point to having somebody with some experience as a backup.
So what do we think? We think it's going to be Hellebuyck and a experienced backup goaltender. Is that what we like? But not Comrie, not Hutchinson.
And not Pavlik.
Because
that's still a possibility.
You know what I think? I get tired of this narrative that the mainstream is pushing up. We need a goalie, because it makes the fans that don't think for themselves not understand what they mean. And I think the dumb fans think, I don't mean all fans, you know what I'm saying? The ones that don't think for themselves think that means we need a new starting goalie. And that's not what mainstream media is saying. What they're saying is they need a goalie to play half the games with Hellebuyck. They're not kicking Hellebuyck out of here. He's got all the tools. His numbers, despite having not a very good year, are still pretty good. He's well above 500 on a below 500 team. They need a 1B goalie. And they bring in a decent guy that's been a decent backup on a bunch of different teams or on one team or whatever, and bring him in to play 35 games next year. That's all they need. If those backup, if either Hutchinson or Pavlik does anything this year, the team's in the playoffs. We can have the Hellebuyck argument all you want. Hellebuck's had some bad games, but overall he's had a decent year for a first-year guy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Jets.
You just need a guy.
Like a Scott Darling, maybe, from Chicago?
Well, I think I heard somewhere that he really thinks he's going to be a starter. The most recent one I'm thinking is Steve Mason.
Yeah, Neuver got signed, yeah. So they extended him, right, before the deadline. So that makes sense.
Go ahead.
Him or Jacob Markstrom, who's improved in the last year and a half in Vancouver, he's another guy that I've been thinking would be a capable backup. Or co-goalie, I guess.
Jet Strolling, best and worst mainstream media personality in Winnipeg.
Oh,
jeez. Hey, he didn't say sports.
Well, the best media person is Ace Bertie, period. There's no disputing that, period.
I don't mind Ace Burpee. My favorite media personality is Double M Martin.
Yes,
very good one.
That would be on the top of my list. And the worst?
What's his name? Wheeler.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you would be the biggest scumbag for sure.
That would be mine.
Yeah, mine would be a 1B with him, but Wheeler, because of that shit, takes the. Yeah, never mind. Yeah.
Who's the other one? Who's the other one?
Doesn't matter. maybe Matt Leibel's replacement, but whatever.
Jet Strolling also asks, have you ever had a real hockey expert on the show? We had Zach Devine on.
We had Zach Devine on. And we had another expert on early on in our podcasting.
We had a whole bunch on the 20416, and actually, as now, this is the part of the season where one of my favorite parts where we can bring people on to talk about the draft, because we start, you know, we got to talk about that top 10 because we got to figure out who we're going to get, right? So that'll start coming as well, I think, in the near future.
We've had an insider on this show before, though. But you can't find that archive anymore.
No.
We tried to look for it, but we couldn't find it anymore.
And I'm wondering with that at Jet Strolling, if he's talking about a different hockey expert, wondering if he's ever going to be on the show. So.
Oh.
Yeah, I think so.
I believe.
Because, you know, Jet Strolling is witty like that.
I believe that is that for this week. But yes, I think that certainly in the next few episodes, we're going to have to start talking about this draft, and I'm excited to do it. OHL, by the way, last weekend of the season is next weekend, and then we're going to playoffs. It's going to be exciting, just so y'all know.
Awesome.
Sweet Kings out here, I guess, too.
Yeah, they're gonna slide into the playoffs in a lower seed, right? But Nolan Patrick is back and he's playing well.
Oh, wouldn't he look great in a Jets uniform, eh?
What's his name? That Brian? Who's your favorite player from the Mississauga Steelheads?
Oh, Nick Hague.
Yeah,
that's how you pronounce his name.
Hague? Yeah, he was. I went to one of their games not this past weekend, but the weekend before. The dude was a fucking beast. Like. He's like Logan Stanley, who actually uses his size and has offensive talent. Like, amazing.
He's what the Jets think they got in Logan Stanley.
Yeah. And it's like night and day with this guy versus Stanley in terms of how he plays. He's mean, but he's not a goon. You know, he's a big dude. He uses his size to an advantage, and he has offense. I don't know how high he's going to go. I've seen him listed anywhere from top 10 to in the 20 range, but I like watching him play.
If we fall to 10, maybe the Jets take him because of his size.
They won't take him because they've already got him in Logan Stanley, so why would they get two of the same guy?
Yeah, you only need like one or two defensemen that are any good, right?
And if you have that prototype already...
We have a lot of big guys anyways, right? So big defensemen that don't know how to do shit else.
Right? Anything else that anybody wants to say before we sign off for the week?
Go Jets, go.
All right.
Tank Jets, tank.
Embrace the tank.
All right. So while we're embracing the tank, we will sign off. Go to Arctic Ice Hockey at Arctic Ice Hockey on Twitter and arcticicehockey.com on the old web to read the articles again, including the broken spirit at the MTS Center, posted by Andy Rolf at Patty Bear XYZ.
Why did you break the MTS Center? Why did you break it?
And written by Kevin Doherty on Twitter. Find him at Magic Toaster FI1. And
I personally blame the trolls.
It is the trolls. It is our fault.
But we're not. We don't go. We don't go. How could we break it? We're not fans.
You know, honestly, I don't want to say too much about how I fan versus other people, but I will anyways. They say that your true friends are the ones who will speak up about what you're doing wrong. And we are all true. We are all true friends of the Winnipeg Jets.
Yes, absolutely.
Very well said.
And they've got a big booger in their nose that hasn't been picked. So we pointed that out for them.
They've got a skewer in their nose.
Yeah, and a big piece of spinach in their teeth.
And they got that toilet paper on the bottom of their teeth.
And their flies down.
All right. At AIH Superfans to follow all of us witty, funny people. And individually, I am the most hated Jets fan on Twitter, at Slip with Five Eyes or Slip.
And I'm the most controversial Jets fan on Twitter, Big Poppy Peg City.
I'm the Brian who didn't win a trip to Winnipeg. You can find me on Twitter at Brian from AIH.
And I'm the most handsome chubby Jets fan in Winnipeg, D-Mac Live.
I gave you that title when I moved a year and a half ago.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I'm not there yet, so.
Still might be a little north of chubby. We'll see. Anyways, thanks, everybody. And we will try to come back at you in a week. Go Jets, go.
In Chevy we trust.